Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Ksubayis Memhei. We are holding on Memdalad Amid Beis, three lines from the bottom of the Amid. Tani Shila. Shila is the name of a Chacham. He presented the following brisa. Shalosh Midos B'Nara. There are three levels regarding the Einish of Misa applied to a Na'ara Hamurasa, who deviated. So we have a Na'ara, who's above Bas Mitzvah. She was engaged and deviated during that period. We have three different types of situations with three different results. First one, Bo'ola Eidem Beveis Chamiya. She is now already married. Beveis Chamiya. It's a term used to describe after marriage in her father-in-law's home. At this point, Eidem arrive. Bo'ola Eidem Beveis Chamiya. And they claim She Zinsa Beveis Chamiya, that she committed Znus way back during engagement when she was still in her father's home. So she's currently after marriage, and they are speaking about an incident that took place before marriage, when she was a Na'ara Ha-Me'uras. What is the halacha? Says the Gemara, Soiklin Oysa, she receives Skila from Bezdin, Al Pesach Beisavia, and it takes place at the entranceway of her father's home. Why? Kalemar. In order to declare, Ru'u gedulim shegidaltem. Look at the child that you reared. Look what happened. This is meant to send a message. Educate your children properly so as not to come to this type of situation. Second case is, Bo'ola Eidem beveis avia. Suppose Eidem arrived earlier when she was still unmarried, in her father's home, Shazinsa Bevesavia, that she did znus while in her father's home, during engagement. In this case, she gets skila as well, as a Na'ara Hamurasa, who committed znus, Soiklin Oysa, but in this case, the location changes. You see, in the previous case, explained the Rishonim, if it is discovered after marriage, we want to highlight the fact that she comes from that household. She was raised in that family. So we take her back to Pesach Beis Avia to highlight that point. It's not the husband's fault. This took place while she was still in her father's home. Everybody should know where she comes from. In the second case, she's still unmarried. She's Beveis Avia. There's no need to make that additional declaration. We all know she's part of this family. And therefore, explain the Rishonim, the location changes. Soiklin Oysa, Al Pesach Shara'ir, the skill takes place in the center of town, at the gateway, at the entranceway to the city, the most public area. That's not from a pasuk we're going to see later on the other side of the daf. Case number three is Sarcha, she deviated during engagement, Ulabai Soif Bagra, and then she becomes a Begeris, a full-fledged adult. Her halacha changes. Skila is no longer applied. Rather, tidain b'chenek, we apply chenek, death by choking. Just like if she would have done znus now. There's no skila, because skila is unique to a na'ara. It's a pasuk. Pasuk speaks about a na'ara. So theoretically, if she would have done it now, it would be chenek. That's the oinish for boigeres. Hamu'ureses, who does this? And therefore, even in this case, where the incident took place when she was still a Na'ara, but the actual legal proceedings, Rashi calls it Ha'amada Badin, taking her to Bezdin and calling her to task, that's taking place now. After having become a Begeris, her body changed, her status changed. And her din changes. Tidon Mechenek. That's a chiddush, the name of Shila. That's a chiddush because in terms of the incident, the occurrence, it took place when she was still a Nara. We disregard that. We say, once she's been transformed, she turned into a Bogeres. We treat her differently. We treat her as a Bogeres, as though she would have deviated now, in which case the consequence is Chenek as opposed to Skila. Lememra, you mean to say, whenever the person's guf changes over, she turned from a Nara to a Bogeres, and now you're taking her to task about something she did way back in the past. But since she changed, Ishtani Ketala, her death changes as well, the din shifts as well. Do you mean to say that? V'ramini, we're going to have a kasha on that from another brisa. Nara hamurasa, a Nara who's engaged. Shezinsa, who commits znus. Umi shebagra, hoitzi aleha shemra. She married. Her husband decides to generate a shemra, to publicize a rumor that she had no besulim, that she evidently engaged in inappropriateness during the period of engagement, and that's why she came into his marriage without besulim, right? After all, that's the whole point of marrying on a Wednesday, right? That's the Mishnah in Daf Beis, marry on Wednesday. This way, if he's to discover that she has no besulim, he runs to Besdin, and what happens in Besdin? He complains, and perhaps Edom come along and support his claim, saying that, yeah, we know she was involved in znus prior to marriage. So this whole parsha of Moitzis Shemra, he's complaining about no besulim. He suggests that perhaps she was involved in znus. If it turns out that he is right, Edom come and support his story. She did znus during engagement, she gets skila. If it turns out that he's falsifying, he's making it up, then he is punished. He has to pay 100 selah, he gets malchus, he must marry her. Right? So that's the parsha of Moitzis Shemra. So again, says the Braisa, Nara hamurasa, shezinsa, she committed znus, umishabagra, hoitzi aleha shemra. So, she was a Nara Murasa, she became a Bogeres, and then he marries her, finds no Basulim, and comes running to Besdin and complains that she's not a Basula. Apparently she did znus during the engagement period. She misled me into thinking that she was a Basula. She's meant to be punished severely because she committed znus. Says the Braisa, being that she is currently a Bogeres, that changes the equation. It changes the rule of the game. Who ain't I like it? If it turns out that he's just trumping up the charges, he's falsifying, it's a false rumor, who ain't I like it? He will not get malchus. If ain't I noisen me a seller, nor will he pay the fine, because after all, we punish him because of what he did. What did he do? He smeared her reputation. He was mighty shame ra. Right? He gave her a bad name. When did he do that? Now. And what is she now? A Bogeres. Halacha doesn't apply to a Bogeres. So that's understood, as Rashi explained. That's a given. He's off the hook, so to speak. But he, let's say, she is in the wrong. Let's say it turns out that it was, in fact, true. She did znus. It was backed up by Edom. V'zoymimel. And likewise, the Edom zoymimel, which basically means there were two Edom who testified that she did znus, and it turns out that they were false Edom. Other Edom came and said, what do you mean you were with us? At that very moment, when you are purporting to have witnessed that, you know, that story, that's called Edom Zemimim. So since they were trying to bring about skilah to this issue, now that skilah is applied to them. Right? That's the parasha of Edom Zemimim. So the Isha who deviated, likewise, the Edom Zemimim, who falsified their edus on her, Magdimin le Beis Haskila, they rush. Rashi says they get up early in the morning. There's no way to escape the Beis Haskila. They get killed. One second. He v'zemimeh salkataitach. The Isha who committed the znus and the Edom Zemimim will get killed. It's either her or the Eid Mezemimin. Either it really happened, so she gets killed, or if it didn't really happen, then the Zemimin gets killed. It can't be both together. Ella, rather, either if it really happened, she gets killed, or if the Eidim were just falsifying it, then they get killed. Magdim in the base of skill, they get skill. Bottom line is, it's clear from the price that all we focus on is the moment of the event. If it took place when she was a Nara, she will get skill irrespective of where she stands today as a Begeris. The Shini HaGuf does not bring about Shinoi and Din, in contradiction to Shila, who told us otherwise. If we look at the current situation, if you are a Begeris now, you get no Skila. Amar Rava, how do you compare the two things? Shila was speaking when Adam decided to offer their services. We know that she did this and that. Okay, in that case, we take a look at where she's holding today. If she's still a Nara, Skila. A Begeris, Chenek. But this Brisa is speaking about Moitzi Shemra, where the husband was involved. He instigated the whole event here. He got to aid them to come. He got her into trouble. It's a whole different... a whole different parasha. And that works according to different guidelines. Moitzi Shemra relates back to the incident as it happened, when it happened. Because after all, what is he saying? What is the husband's concern? His concern is primarily that she misled him. Look, you came into marriage purporting to be a basula. No, you deviated. You came in as a ba'ula. You did not. You misled me. You fooled me. So in this case, of course, we relate back to the incident as it happened, when it happened. And if it happened when she was a Nara, we treat it as a Aznus with a Nara. Although she's currently a Begeris, it doesn't concern us. We sort of go back in time and discuss the incident when it happened. Amar Rava Moitzi Shemra Ka'amras, you're referring to Moitzi Shemra, it's a whole different parasha. Shani Moitzi Shemra, Moitzi Shemra is so different than Shila's case. The Chidushu. Moitzi Shemra is a new concept. It's a novelty. And I'll prove it to you. I'll prove to you that Moitzi Shemra works according to different guidelines than typical. Why? Daha nichnasa l'chupa v'lai nivala. Typically an Isha who experienced chupa with her husband. V'lai nivala, and there was no, you know, further interaction between them. Baum, a typical case, right? Vizinsa. And then she commits znus. Bechenek. What does she get? She gets chenek. Rashi brings the Gemara later that once you're married, you get chenek, even though it's just chuppah that constitutes a married woman. So after chuppah, if there is znus, she's deserving of chenek. That's the typical case. Baum. Whereas, if it would be Moitzi Shemra, he would get up and complain about her situation. Say, look, I think that she committed znus before she married me. So again, we're standing after marriage, after chuppah, and he's complaining about a past event. You misled me. You came into marriage, supposedly, a basula. No, I have no basulam here. You deviated before marriage. So even though, currently speaking, she's married, and theoretically, if she would do znus now, her penalty would be chenek. We don't apply chenek in this case. Because he's complaining about a past event, you would give her skila, which is the fitting punishment for znus during engagement. So it's clear from this halacha that chuppah, although it affects change of status, typically, znus before chuppah is skila, znus after chuppah is chenek, so chuppah changes the din, But if it's in a Moitzi Shemra context, meaning it's after Chuppah and he's complaining about her misleading him and coming into marriage as a non-basula, which indicates that she did Znus beforehand, we ignore the current situation. We don't deal with it as though she did it now. Rather, we sort of go back in time and give her the skila as per the fitting punishment for his Znus during Erusin. So it's clear that Mitzvah Shemar works so differently. And therefore, we have no kasha on Shila. Shila told us that if Edom come along and speak about his Znus that she committed during engagement, well, it depends where she's holding. She's a Nara, she gets skila. She's a Bergeres, then we treat her according to her current status, a Bergeres gets chenek. Sure, because that's by way of Edom, who volunteered their services. But if the husband is involved, he is the one corralling the Edom. He is the one initiating the whole process. That's why I say Shemra. There is more than just the deviation that she did. She misled him. He's complaining about the fact that she entered into the relationship in this manner. So there we go back in time. Let's refer back to the incident which brought about entry into the marriage in this condition. You did this during Erison and you came into marriage in this manner. There we ignore her current situation, even though she's a Bergeris. Now, let's go back to when it happened as a Nara. And of course, we give you a Skila, which is exactly what the Brisa said. We thought the Brisa was a Kasha on Shila. No, the Brisa is speaking about Mitzvah Shemra, and Shila is not. Amali Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yishol Rava, says Rav Huna to Rava, you sought to prove your point. Which point? That Mitzvah Shemra is different. That Mitzvah Shemra, we refer back to the actual time of the incident. You proved it from the case of the Isha who's passed the Chuppah, right? Maybe there's a difference between that and a Bergeris. Because Chuppah, it's not such a drastic change. The person didn't change. Whereas by Bergeris, it's a personal change. Maybe that would change your halacha. You can't compare one to the other. Dilma, perhaps, ki chadash rachmana. This that the Torah is mechadish. The Torah introduces this new concept that by an isha past chuppah, if it is a moitzi shemar situation, we ignore the chuppah, so to speak, and we give her the punishment as per pre-chuppah, hecha delo yishtani gufa, that's only because her guf didn't actually change. So she can maintain her earlier halacha. Aval hecha yishtani gufa, but if the isha turned from a nara to bergeres, that's a serious transformation. Aloy chadis rachmana, perhaps in that case, the Torah was not mechadish to us that she can maintain her status. In which case, it would be a kasha on Shila. Why? Because the Brisa, the Veramini Brisa, tells us that a Moitzi Shemra on an Isha who now is a Begeris will give her a Skila as per her earlier status when she was a Nara. She maintains that Skila even though she's a Begeris. That's a straight contradiction to Shila, who says once she turns a Begeris, her halacha changes. Ella Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Ishtani v'lo ishtani, this question of whether the din changes as per personal change. So if you turn a Bergeris, would your halacha change or not? Guess what? It's a machlekes tanoim. Tanoi, this nun, we find a similar machlekes elsewhere. So you know that an ordinary Yisrael who doesn't avera, a severe avera, which carries a potential kurus if done b'mezid, what happens if he does it b'shogeg? He brings a female sheep or a female goat, kispa or a seira. That's the carbon for an ordinary citizen. But if you're a prominent individual, a kohen gadol, a nasi, then it works differently. A nasi, a melech, he brings a sa'ir, a male goat, and an anointed kohen gadol, if he should do an avera, he brings a par. These are unique to these individuals. So here comes a Mishnah. Tanoi, we're going to find a machlekes Tanoim in this regard. Tisnan chatu ashalo nismanu. These individuals committed a chet before they were appointed to their positions. At the point of chet, they were ordinary Yisraelim who were meant to bring a kispa or seira. V'nismanu, and then they were appointed to high position, to high office. It became a kohen gadol. Harihin kediotis, we treat them like ordinary people. So although he only became aware of his need to bring a carbon once he turned a kohen gadol, it doesn't matter. Change of status doesn't change your carbon obligation. Just bring the good old carbon as before. So according to Tanakama, change of status doesn't change the halacha. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im noydelahem ad shelo nismanu chayavim. If they became aware of their offense before they were appointed, fine. They'll bring their old, good old standard carbon. But mishen nismanu. If they should only become aware of their offense, of their violation, after being appointed king or kohen gadol, piturim, there's no carbon. Apparently, Rabbi Shimon holds that shinui haguf changes your halacha. So that's the machlekes tanoim that we were looking for. Asks the Gemara, Emor de shamine le Rab Shimon. Well, sure, Rab Shimon is certainly speaking about something. The azl av basar yudia, you see that he will also reckon with the moment of awareness. Also, and that's why he says you can't bring a carbon. Because you're a living dilemma right now. On the one hand, you did the Avera when you were an ordinary citizen. On the other side of the coin, let's look at the moment of awareness. You got your Yodiyah, which is actually the trigger point for the Chiyuv Karban, knowing that you did a Chet, becoming aware. That occurred now, after assuming office. So, we're stuck. We're not sure how to treat you. Should we deal with you like a regular person or like a special person? So he takes both sides of the story into account. That you see from Rabbi Shimon. But do you see that he ignores past history? That the change in status actually transforms everything? Which, after all, is what you were looking for. You were trying to find such a shita that change in status, change of guf, becoming a begeris, etc., changes the whole halacha. You don't see that from here. You see a dilemma being presented because you have the past versus the present. But you don't see that you totally ignore the past and focus on the present. You don't see that. The azal basar yadiyah, that one should focus on the moment of awareness, v'lay azal basar chato, and ignore the moment of chet, mishamaslay. What do you see that from Rav Shimon? The azal basar yadiyah, do you see that he's looking at the yadiyah and not going basar chato? You don't see that. And I'll prove to you that you're not going to see that. Im came because if it were so, if indeed Rabbi Shimon is just focusing on the present, I have a simple solution to the problem. You know what? Leisi karbon ki dehashta. Let him just bring a karbon as per his current position. He's a king, Mashiach, anointed. Let him bring a par. V'nasi, if he's a king, soyer. Let him bring a soyer. Disregard the past. Focus on the present. So I'm disproving your correlation. You thought that Rabbi Shimon was consistent with Levi, with Shiva, right? Just as by the Begeris, once she turns Begeris, she changes from Skila to Chenek. As we see, Rabbi Shimon allows his current situation to override everything. He turned to king, suddenly a new halacha. We ignore the, the moment. We ignore the actual event as it took place, and we focus on your current situation. Even though you did the Avera when you were a regular person, no. We look at Hamada Badin, we look at the current situation when you're trying to address and rectify what you did wrong. Right? That's what you thought we see from Rav Shimon. But we don't see it from Rav Shimon. Quite the contrary. Because if it were so that we focus on the present, let him just give the carbon as per his current situation. Apparently, Rav Shimon just holds that we have to take everything into account, past and present. And therefore we created a paradox. Focusing on the moment of the chet would generate a certain carbon. focusing on the moment of the awareness and bringing the carbon would require a different carbon. So you're sort of stuck, you can't do anything. But in fact, that has nothing to do with Shila's concept that when you change, everything changes. And we're stuck, basically. And therefore, the Gemara says, let's sort of revise. We're going to delete that halacha. Amrlei Rabbi Yechon Latan. In fact, Rabbi Yechon told the Chacham who presented that brisa from Shila, switch it, change it. It's untrue. Tani, let's revise the halacha. Even if a nara turns a begeras, she maintains her earlier form of misa, which is skila. There's no change whatsoever. And that's the maskama. That's the conclusion. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? V'amai, nara hamurasa, amrachmona. The pasuk says, we apply skila to a nara hamurasa. V'ha begerasi, she's no longer a nara, she's a begeras. How can you give her skila? Amar below, amar krod, the pasuk says, ha nara, the extra hey at the beginning, is teaching us ha nara shoyso kvar. As long as she was once a nara, we ignore her current status. And Tosis points out, in fact, this Gemara is the source for this concept that whenever there's ishtani gufa, even though the body changes, a change of status, change of doesn't matter. Lo ishtani k'tola, the halacha, the form of misa doesn't change. The basar, we're just reading Tosis on the side. The basar mikor azlinan, we focus on the moment when the event took place, and at that point she was a nara, that sticks. If that's the case, I have a kasha. The Braisa told us. Right? The Braisa of Ramini told us. If she was a nara murasa, who committed znos, and then she became a bageris, and then her husband gangs up on her and purports that she committed znos, right? Turns out that he falsified. He gets no malchus. We apply no fine. Why? Because she's a begeris, and this process only applies to a nara. Who cares? Haven't we just said, the pasuk says, hanara, it all depends on what she was once before. As long as she was once a nara, we disregard the fact that she's a begeris now. Let's apply the entire process. Let him give him malchus. Let him pay. Yachi milka nami loki. Let him get malchus. Umei asela nami l'shal. Let him pay his fine. Amar le. Shabbi Lo responded, a huge difference between his din and her din. Rachmana nitzlan. Hashem should save us. Mahay died from this argument. And Rashi says, he withheld the actual reason because it's something that you have to just come to on your own. There's a very clear distinction between the skila applied to the isha, which is based on the moment of the actual occurrence, which took place when she was a nara, way back when, and the penalty applied to the husband, who just falsified and trumped up charges. That penalty, that einish, is triggered by what he did now, and we have to look at the current at her current situation now. Whether she's a nara now or begeris now. See, with L, the actual reason, he wanted him to come to it on his own. Hashem should save us from this argument. Adrava. So he responded, just the opposite. Rachmana l'tzlan medat edadach. Hashem should spare us from your opinion. Bottom line is v'tamamai. What is the difference between her and him? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abin. V'tema some say Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abba. A very simple distinction. Zu ma'aseh ha'gar mula. By the isha who committed to us. Why is she getting skila? Because of what she did. Right? And when did she do it? When she was a nara. That's all that counts. V'zeh akimas fasav gar mulay. On the other hand, why would he be penalized? Because of what he spoke. Akimas fasav, the expressions of his lips. Basically, smearing her reputation. So if she was in the wrong, she's punished for what she did way back then. There's no such that she did when she was a nara. It turns out that he's falsifying, he's making it up. He's meant to be punished because of what he did now. And the Gemara explains, Zuma se'o gar mula, by her, the skila, results from what she did. And when did she do that? Because she's a noi, when she did his nos, what was she? A nara is a noi, she was a nara. And therefore she got skila, even though she now turned up a geras. The moment of offense is what determines her halacha. as opposed to him, v'ze akimas fasav gamerloi. His expression, his falsification, his words, his lashon hara, his mitzvah shemra, is what brings him punishment. And when did that happen? Emas kamechayiv. When was he guilty of doing that? Hahi shaita. At that very moment. Well, vahi shaita begeres havoy. At that moment, she was already begeres, and therefore the process is not applied. So, bottom line is, we concluded that even when there's a shine haguf, the einish remains intact, remains the same. She maintains her chiyuv skila. So let's say she was mizana as a nara, but she already turned to begeres. We don't care because we're punishing for what happened then, as opposed to on his side of the story, if he's making it all up. When is that happening now? Well, we have to see what she is. If she's a nara, then the parsha of Mitzvah Shemra applies. But otherwise it doesn't. Tana Rabbanan. Where does the skila take place? Nara hamurasa shezinsa. A nara who's engaged, got involved with znus. Soiklin oisa pesach besavia. We take her to the entranceway of her father's home. And we do skila. Ein lo pesach besav. Let's say there is no pesach besav. She has no father or he owns no home. What's the second best location? Soiklin oisa al pesach sh'ar ha'irahi. We do the skila at the entranceway of that city. Ubeir sheruba ibde kechavim. Suppose the city is inhabited mostly by non-Jews. Soiklin oisa al pesach bezin. The third alternative is at the entranceway of bezin, which is the Jewish gathering place. By the way, this is all learned from Psukim coming up. In similar fashion, you say that a fellow worshipped idols, ideally, we do the skila at the entranceway of the city where he committed this sin. However, a city which is mostly inhabited by non-Jews, we do it at the entranceway of Bezn. Manan Emili, how do we know all this? The Tanur Rabban. The pasuk which contains the word she'arecha. So we take this fellow who did the Avodah Zarah to the she'arecha, to your gateways, and we apply skila. Ze shar she'avad bayit, referring to the entranceway of the city where he committed his sin. Ato Eimer, you maintain that it means shar she'avad bayit, the entranceway, the gateway of the city where he committed the sin. Or maybe not. It's referring to the shar of the city where he was dealt with by the Bezdin. Not the place where he actually did the Avera. So how do you know what the Sharecha means? His hometown, or perhaps the Shar of Bezdin's location? Ne'emar, we learn that from the following Gzeirah Shava. Ne'emar Sharecha Lamata. We find the term Sharecha, your gateways, mentioned further down in the Parsha, down at Pasuk Hey, which describes where Bezdin is going to apply skila to this person at she'arecha. V'nemar she'arecha lamala. We find the word she'arecha mentioned in a previous pasuk as well, in pasuk base, describing the location of the sin committed, where he was oved avodah zarah be'echad she'arecha, and we compare the two she'arechas. Ma she'arecha amar lamala. Shar shavat boy, just as the term she'arecha in the previous pasuk describes where the fellow was doing avodah zarah, af she'arecha ha'amar lamato. Likewise, she'arecha mentioned later on, the location of skila, is referring to shar shavat boy, the entranceway of the city where he worshipped avodah zarah. Dor achar, another drasha we will learn from the pasuk she'arecha. She'arecha, your designated gateways, v'loy sha'ari avodah kechavim, as opposed to a city which is mostly inhabited by non-Jews. In that case, we skip the sha'ar ha'ir and we do it at the bezin. Asks the Gemara, hai she'arecha ha'afikte, but haven't we already used the word she'arecha for the gzeres shava mentioned earlier? It's unavailable for this new drasha. Im kain, the answer is because if only for that first drasha, for the Gzera Shava, Lemakra Shar. The pasuk could just suffice with the word Sha'ar, and that would be enough to connect it to the other Sha'arecha, which teaches us the location of Skila. My Sha'arecha. Why does the pasuk say Sha'arecha? Your designated Shar, Shema Mino Tarti. That allows us to learn two things, and this halacha as well, that if it's not Sha'arecha, but rather inhabited by Oyvde Kechavim, you switch locations, you don't do skila at Ishar Hayr. Ashkhan Avaydis Kechavim. Fine, so you have a source for applying skila to an Oyvde Avaydizara, where we do it, how we do it. Nara Hamurasam Nolan. What about a Nara Murasa skila? How do we know that it's done in similar location? Amar Ravo. But we have another Gzera Shava. Gomar Pesach mi Pesach. Because Nara Hamurasa doesn't really have the word She'arecha mentioned, only the word Pesach. Right? We take her El Pesach Beis Havia. We take that Pesach and we connect it to a different Pesach. Which other Pesach? By the Mishkan, it says Pesach She'ar Hechotzer. Pesach mi Pesach. We connect our Pesach to Pesach HaMishkan. U Pesach mi She'ar. And since by the Mishkan, the word Pesach is situated right next to the word Shar, so we see that Pesach and Shar are somewhat synonymous. We bring that over to us as well. Pesach Beis Avia by the Nara Amoroso encompasses Shar as well. It's synonymous with Shar. Now, it is as though we have the word Shar stated over here by Nara Amoroso as well, and that allows us to connect to the Sha'arecha by the Oved Avod Zarah, which we have already discussed before, as per the location of the skila, Shar here or Shar Bezd. Vishar Mishorach, Tanurabah. So we know that a fellow who is Moitzi Shemra claims that his wife had engaged with somebody prior to marriage, between engagement and marriage. It turns out that he's just falsifying. He is punished severely. He gets Malkus. Pasuk says, V'yisru oisa, he gets malchus, and he pays 100 selah. Tanu Rabbanan. We are meant to know that there is a machlekes between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov in the upcoming daf as to when do we apply these penalties. Just by being Moitzi Shemra, spreading this false rumor about her, that is enough to earn him these punishments, or does he have to actually interact with her as married? It's going to be discussed tomorrow, Bezus Hashem. Now comes a Braisa, which discusses a similar halacha, and the Gemara will link it to that machlekes. Tan Rabbana Moitzi Shemra Loike. V'noisen me'asela. He's Moitzi Shemra. It turns out that he's just making it up. He gets malchus and pays 100 selah. That's a Tanakama. So even without interacting with her as married, he's Moitzi Shemra, he's punished. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, all depends. Because Rabbi Yehuda follows the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that the whole parsha of Moitzi Shemra really only applies when he is Baal, when he lives with her as married. So the Moya Sela he will not pay if there was no Baal. Lilkos loike mikol makom. Malkos he gets in any case. Why? Because there's a law which says, Lo yiseleich rachel ba'amecha. You're not meant to spread lashon hara and falsehood about your friend. So that law is sufficient to generate a chiyuv malchus, according to Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. And therefore, lilkos, loike mekol makom. Malchus is applied in any case, even without this fellow having interacted with his isha. But mea sela, in terms of paying the Me'asela, that fine is only imposed if he was Baal. Baal, Noisen, then he pays that. Loi Baal, but otherwise, Einoi Noisen, there's no penalty in terms of Me'asela. Tanakama applies it in all cases. And in fact, Kamiflagi, the Machlekes, over here between Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda, Biplukta, the Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov Rabbanon, is the same as Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov Rabbanon, and Vachikamar, and this is what they meant to say. In our Braisa, we have a Moitzi Shemra like it. If he's Moitzi Shemra, he gets Malkus, Benoisen Me'asela, and he pays up, Bein Baal, whether he was Baal, Bein Shaloi Baal, or whether he did not do a Masa with this Isha. That's a Tanakama, who is in line with Shitas Rabbanon, Kir Rabbanon, who say that Baal is not a precondition for penalizing this man. Rabbi Do'aymer, Lilkais Leike Mekal Mokim. In terms of Malkus, it applies in all cases, because there's a lav, Lo Yiseleich Rachel Be'amecha. And Rashi points out, even though it's a lav that doesn't really encompass an act, it's a lav shein by Maisa, Rabbi Yehuda holds, even this type of lav can generate Malkus. But, Me'a Sela, when it comes to paying that fine, it depends. Baal, if he interacted with her as married and then decided to spread this falsehood about her, then Nisan, he'll have to pay the Me'a Sela. But Loi Baal, if that hadn't yet happened, Eino Nisan, he will not pay. And that is Kirab Elezer ben Yaakov, who says that Baal is a precondition for a Knas. So that's version number one of our Brice, Ikad Amri. There's another version of our Brice, Kula, Kirab Elezer ben Yaakov. In fact, Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda both are fully in line with Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov that Baal is a precondition. Vachik Amar, and the Brisa says as follows: Hamoitzi Shemra, if he is a Moitzi Shemra, Loike Venoisin Meyasela, he will get all the penalties, Malkus and payment, Vu Shabal, provided he was Baal, that's a Tanakama. That's in line with Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov that Baal is a precondition. And Rabbi Yehuda as well will be consistent with that sheet, but he will say that in all cases, even if there was no Baal, in which case he's not deserving of the Moitzi Shemra penalties, but he'll still get Malkus because of Lo Yiseleich Rachel Ba'amecha. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lulkos, in terms of Malkus, Loikim Lukal Malkim, he gets Malkus in either case. But in terms of payment, which is unique to Moitzi Shemra, that's only if Baal. Asks the Gemara of Esav Rabbi Yehuda, Lulkos Loikim Lukal Malkim, is that so that according to Rabbi Yehuda, even when there's no Masa committed, he will get Malkus? Va'atanya, the Brisa says, otherwise, Rabbi Do'aymer, Baal Leike, Loi Baal, Einai Leike. If he was Baal, he gets Malkus, but otherwise not. Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak, you're right. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no Malkus if there is no Baal. Why? Because the Torah stipulates that all these penalties, whether it's payment or Malkus, by Mitzvah Shemra, are dependent upon Baal. So typically, elsewhere in the Torah, perhaps you can do Malkus without a Maisa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, but not by Moitzi Shemra. And therefore, when Rabbi Yehuda maintained, a bit earlier in the first Brisa, that I'll get Malkus, even if there was no Maisa done, that's not your standard Malkus from the Torah. When he said Loike, it means Makas Mardus mid the Rabbanim. These are lashes given by the Rabbanim to set him straight. But of course, when Atara, there's no Malkus, if there was no Baal. Rav Papa Amar, he disagrees. Let's go back to the earlier notion. Rabbi Yehuda maintains, even without a mass of Baal, if he is Mighty Shemra, he will get Malkus. Question was, what about this Brisa, the most recent Brisa? Rabbi Yehuda says, if there's no Baal, there's no Malkus. Baal like it. Loi Baal ain't like it. Rapapa Omar, my Baal Leike Diktani, awesome. What does the Brisa mean? Baal Leike, not Malkus, that comes regardless. Rather, it means mumming. He'll be slapped with a fine. Baal Leike means he'll pay. But Malkus, it happens regardless. Vikarele the mumming Malkus? Does the Brisa refer to payment as Malkus? What does Malkus have to do with payment? And yes, we do find that the Mishnah would refer to payment using this type of term. Getting slapped, getting hit with a fine. But none, as we find in the Mishnah, Ha'imer chatzi erki alai. This fellow gets up and declares, I will give half my value to Hashem. There's a parashas erchen, which designates set, you know, amounts. Erchen as per, you know, gender and age. I'm giving half my erech to Hashem. Noisin chatzi erkei. Fine, give 50%. Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Da'imer, no. Loike, he's slapped, he's hit. V'noisin erech shalom. It just means to say he's forced to pay the full erech, the full value. Loike, he's being hit. Amai, why? What did he do wrong? Why is he getting slapped? Why is he getting struck? Amra papa. It doesn't actually mean getting hit. Loike, v'noisin erech shalom. Just means to say he's slapped, enforced to give the entire erech. And likewise by us, that's all it means. But really, why? Why does he have to pay the full amount? If he only committed half. My time. It's a gzera midrabbanan. Gzera chatzi erkoi. We're concerned that this time, although he said half my value, which commits him only to half, but it might lead atu erach shalom, atu erach chetzi. It can lead to next time where he'll say, the value of half of myself. And that's a problem. Because if he says erach chetzi, I'm giving the erach of half myself, ve'erach chetzi havalei ever shana shamat luyaboy. Half of the body encompasses vital organs. It includes Aver Shana Shamat Luyaboy, in which case the halacha is that he's now chayev to give his entire value. You can't split that person into two. So when you say half of myself, it encompasses vital organs, it's automatically going to activate a full erech. Because after all, he's committing to give the erech of a person. Right? So we're concerned that if we allow this fellow who said chatzi erkei, half my value, to give only half, next time he might confuse the words and say value of half of myself. But in that case, he has to give a full value. You can't split a person into two. So therefore, we apply a full erech in this case as well. So bottom line is, a fellow was mitzi shemra, he has to give the meyer sela, he has to get the malkus. But we do have a machlekes. According to the first version in Tanakama, the money, the malchus, he'll do in any case, like Shitas Rabbanon, that Baal is not a prerequisite for these things. According to version 2 in Tanakama, just the opposite. Mea Kesef and malchus only apply if Baal. This is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who considers that to be a precondition. What is Rabbi Yehuda's Shita? He follows Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov as well. So in terms of the money, that depends on Baal. But in terms of Malkus, according to one opinion in the Gemara, Malkus applies regardless, because of Lo Yiseilech Rachel Ba'amecha, that's a love that generates Malkus. Whereas according to the other sheet of the Gemara, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the Malkus here is not Mendaraisa, rather only Mendarabonim. Okay, let's briefly recap today's daf. Anara Ha'murasa, who got engaged in Znus, she's deserving of skila. So if the Edom come and tell us about the incident, and they're coming while she's still engaged and in her father's home, the skila is applied where? At what location? The Pesach Ha'ir, or if most of the inhabitants are Goyim, we do it at the Pesach Bezen. But if they came after marriage and tell us about an incident that took place during engagement, the loch is we take her to Pesach Beis Avia. This way, everybody identifies her family and those who reared her, and it sends a strong message. Now, let's say we're holding after she's a boigeres, according to Tani Shila, that changes her halacha from skila to chenek. But the Gemara concludes otherwise. She maintains her earlier chiyuv based on the pasuk which says hanara shayisa kvar, and the rationale behind it is, after all, the offense was committed. Was done when she was a Nara. Therefore, the Einish befitting a Nara, which is Skila, is applied as well. But if it turns out that his fellow, her husband, is making up the story, and he must be penalized, well, it depends when he was Metzi Shemra. And if in fact he was Metzi Shemra after she became a Begeris, let's remember, we are penalizing him for what he did now. And since currently she's a Begeris, we don't apply that process. Where does Skila take place? By the Nara Hamurasa, we discussed Pesach Beis Avia. That's if it happened after she was married, and we want to highlight the fact that she comes from this family. Otherwise, it's in the Shaar Ha'ir or the Shaar Bezdin, depending on the residence of the town of Avodah Zarah as well. We take him to the Shaar Ha'ir or in the city of Goyim at the Shaar Bezdin. And we concluded with the Machlokes, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanon, whether the Knas and the Malkus to a husband who was Metzi Shemra is dependent upon a masa of Baal or not, as we will see, Bezer Hashem, tomorrow in greater detail. All the best to you and much Hatzlacha.